chapter number 1. And I was just, it's been a rough few weeks for me personally, but I'm fine with it. And I keep reminding myself that my personal plan is to pastor beyond the age of 70. That's starting to look not too far in the distant anymore. And to serve beyond the past of 80 years old. And I don't know what God has in store for tomorrow, but that's my plan. God may change that tomorrow. In fact, I've been hearing some things I don't want to hear from doctors lately, but we'll just ignore them. So we won't worry about that. God knows all about that. Reality, all I want to do is tell somebody about Jesus every day. And I'm already brokenhearted as tomorrow. I'm planning on spending a lot of hours in the building tomorrow and probably Friday also. So I won't go knocking on doors anywhere in the next couple of days. But I want you to look at Psalm chapter number 1. And kind of read the first two verses, I think. We're going to start there and go through the whole psalm. In fact, how many have this psalm memorized? I won't ask you to quote it. This is the psalm that every Christian ought to memorize. And this is one of those psalms that you ought to be very familiar. This is, to me, this is a more important psalm than Psalm 23. Well, I don't know if you put a value on any of them. Psalm 1 and Psalm 23 are great psalms. Psalm 8, Psalm 73. So, boy, I got a hold of Psalm 101, Psalm 100. Well, never mind. We'll just keep going. And the ones that are worth memorizing and meditating on. But let's read it together. You know what? Let's read it out loud together, okay? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Wow, that's good. There's so much truth there. Now, I want you to look especially at one statement. I was waiting for Connor to get there and say, that's the one that really stuck out to me. But he got close to it. In verse number 3, he says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, do we believe the Bible is applicable to everyday life? A lot of Christians say we believe that, but do we really believe that? I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments about the whatsoevers of life. The whatsoevers. Boy, that'd be a good message, the whatsoevers and the whosoevers. I'm going to preach that sometime, and I'll come up with another one. I think oftentimes of the whosoever, whosoever shall call. And the whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, when I memorized this psalm many years ago, I wasn't saved for very long, when I just decided I'm going to memorize this psalm. It's such a good psalm, such a great truth. And just the first couple of verses were so good that I thought the whole thing's worth memorizing. But that statement, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, that statement struck me. And I decided that, you know, I knew the Bible was good for preachers. I knew it was good for in church. I knew it was good for spiritual things. But I had no idea that that promise was good for all the whatsoevers. And I found that when you meditate and memorize and meditate on Psalm chapter number 1 and the things that are given, especially in the first two verses in Psalm chapter number 1, that I learned from experience that you'll become a better student in school. That's one of the whatsoevers. Oh, I didn't think it would matter for school. Oh, yes, it will. It's too bad you guys are graduating. This would have helped you get through school. Now it's too late for that. But I guarantee you, I found out from experience almost overnight that, wow, this helps in your schoolwork when you do what this psalm says. It also helps when you're a factory worker to be a better factory worker. Ah, do you believe that? That's what it says. That's one of the whatsoevers. I learned by experience that it'll make you a better janitor. That's what I did a lot of my time when I was in Bible college. It'll make you a better janitor. Hey, what does the Bible have to do with it? That's one of the whatsoevers. I learned by experience that it'll make you a better electrician. Oh, yeah, it will. That's one of the whatsoevers. It'll make you a better maintenance man or woman, whatever the case may be. It'll make you better at landscaping. Too bad you didn't know that, Brother Todd. It'll make you better at gardening. It'll make you a better carpenter. It'll make you a better plumber. Now, these are all the things that I do since I've been pastoring that you just always do. It'll make you a better roofer. It'll make you a better mechanic. But I sure do like having Todd around to do mechanical work anymore. But it'll help you in whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A lot of Christians, sad to say, don't believe that. Well, it'll be good for your walk with the Lord. But what good does it do beyond that? I challenge you to apply the Word of God to whatsoever you do. And you'll find when you meditate on the Word of God, when you separate yourself from the worldly influences and give yourself and delight in the law of the Lord, whatsoever you do will prosper when you become a godly man. I think that's a great... How do you know the chorus, "Every promise in the book is mine"? I always sing that chorus wrong. I don't know if I dare sing it because I won't tell you the song I always sing it to the tune of because I mess it up all the... "Every promise of the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings from..." I can't remember the words. I'm trying to sing the tune, but I'm going to sing the wrong tune because I always do unless I hear it on the piano. But we're going to have to do that for a chorus of the month again. So it's been a long time since we've done that. We already got the one picked out for next month. So maybe the month that I'll forget by... Write it down, Grandma, because I'll forget. But every promise of the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings. How is it? Of his love, of the blessings of his love divine, something like that. So I'll tell you the tune I always sing it. I was walking down the road one day in the very merry month. I get those tunes mixed up, so I start singing that tune. No. My wife says, no. Now I gave you the tune, okay? It fits with that tune, but it just doesn't sound right. And you can sing it like Elmer Fudd when you do it that way, too, if you want. But there is a spiritual application to something I'm going to get now. Tomorrow, I mentioned an announcement that tomorrow and Friday we're going to be laying the carpet. And all the time we're getting ready for this, I think of one of my favorite lines from my three great philosophers, Larry, Curly, and Moe. "Ain't nothing to this carpet business, huh?" And one of their apps, "Ain't nothing to this plumbing business." Every time I do plumbing, I think of them too. That was a show that they did. There's, I got thinking about some things concerning the carpet, and I thought, boy, there's a spiritual application to everything that you do. I'm going to share some things with you tonight that God just gave to me, reminded me this morning in prayer. Let's see, I'm not making the sense of my notes here. I'm not sure what I wrote down. That doesn't fit there. But, we got the carpet from Al DeLillo. I don't even know who Al is, Jim's brother. And some of the young guys didn't know who Jim's brother was, Janelle. He'd enjoy this. And And I said, he's going to come. And then, and I talked with them and they were listening. And I said, that's Jim's brother. And they said, oh, that's who we remind. I thought I was talking to Jim. Just listening to him talk and things. We bought carpet from him in the past, and he always works so much with us, and we get stuff, sometimes less than half price through him, because he helps us shop around a little bit. He said, well, you know, there's something else you can do to save you $2,000 or $3,000. I said, I'm all ears. What's that? He said, you can install it yourself. I said, okay, I'm in. We can do that. After all, one of the Baptist distinctives is that we're cheap. Right? And we'll do anything to save a buck. And we can do that. And the only thing cheaper than a Baptist is a Filipino Baptist. We're talking about, if you know my father and my daughter's father-in-law, he's the kind of guy that, of course, he grew up in the Philippines. When he was a little boy, he came to the States, and they know how to live with nothing. And he could tell me some amazing stories, but pretty much anything that needs to be fixed, he goes to the library and gets a book and reads the book, and then he fixes it. Doesn't matter if it's a car, doesn't matter if it's building a rocket ship. He can just do it after just reading the book. But he figured out how to do anything. Now, I don't go as crazy as he does, but he saves a lot. Gerald's just talking to Rachel, and he's fixing something for them. I think, I wouldn't even dare tackle that, but he handled that. I just read it in this book here once. Maybe one of the lessons I've learned in life, maybe one of the first spiritual lessons I've learned from now on, I'm going to let somebody else do the work around here. Nah, that ain't going to happen. So we'll just keep going. He said, okay, first of all, you got to do all the prep work. Well, I understand that. Y'all helped us move everything out of the auditorium, moved it in here. There's a great auditorium in here, isn't it? And it works great. But we can move everything out, and we'd do that even if we hired somebody to do all the work. And we can rip out the old carpet. That's even kind of fun to do, isn't it? Well, the initial stuff is, but all the details are a little bit harder. And then we can do the cleaning, I can build the sound booth, or what we call the turkey roost. Not the crow's nest, but the turkey roost. I can run the wires, and we can install new outlets. I can take care of that. We can lay the plywood on the floor. We can do that. Yes, we can. We're Bob the Builders, and we got her done. And then all the patching that needs to be done, and the cleaning again. We need to strip down to the bare wood, the things that we didn't put plywood over. Well, we can do that. We got sanders. That works okay. And then there's more cleaning to be done. And then to decide, well, the pattern is to do the carpet, and more cleaning to be done. And planning how we're going to do all that. Well, we my wife and I figured that out last night. And we're going to think about the installation. Well, we'll worry about that when we get to it. I was just like laying tile down. You slap glue down, slap the tile down, walk away, it's done. Sounds great. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But I noticed this. Every time I talk to Al about, and we probably had four conversations while we're in the process of doing that, make sure we're doing things right here. Do we need to do this? And he kept asking me this silly question. You see, when we started, he gave me a little packet of installation instructions. And he kept asking me that annoying question, did you read the instructions yet? Well, no, but I will. I'll do it before we lay them down. In the next conversation, did you read the instructions? Well, I looked at the pictures. Huh? It does have a couple of pictures. And I did look at the pictures. And the next time, did you read the instructions yet? No, but I will before we do it. And then finally, I talked to him, did you read the instructions yet? Sounds like a preacher is asking people, did you read your Bible yet? No, but I will when the time gets right, when I have a free moment, when I'm really in need, then I'll really search the Scriptures. And I did scan over them, but I didn't read them in detail. To be quite honest with you, they're a little bit difficult to understand. I had to come up with some new vocabulary words to read them. Finally, Sunday night, I told my wife, okay, I'm going to read them Sunday afternoon. Every time I talk to Al, he's always on my back. He's always preaching to me. You got to read the instructions. And I said, no, I'll do it before we get to it, okay? So I said, Sunday afternoon, I'm going to read the instructions. And then we got busy doing things Sunday afternoon. I said, okay, Sunday night, I'm going to read the instructions. Guess what I did Sunday night? Because we're going to start Monday. Okay, I'm going to read the instructions Sunday night. And I thought, I don't understand this. And I read through the first time, I thought, I'm not really getting that. Man, we're going to put this down and have some ice cream or something. That helps mine think a little bit. I'm going to read through it again. I thought, is it really that important to do all this stuff? Do we really have to do all that? Do I really have to do all those things? I mean, after all, this is going to include more work. I don't know if it's really necessary. So, Monday morning, I thought, okay, I'm going to read through them the third time. I thought, oh my, I'm going to need some help. Help! I'm not sure I could do this. There's some more prep work that we're going to need to do. I'm not as ready as I thought I was to do this. We're going to need some more tools. I'm certainly going to need some more advice. I made an appointment. Al, can I come and pick your brain for a little bit? Went there early yesterday morning before he went to his first job, and they had some installers there that I was glad they were there too, because we had a round session meeting, and I thought, well, I need to get this straight in my mind. I'm not sure if we need this or if this is really necessary. Oh, yeah. If you want it to stay on the floor, you do need to do that. Yeah. Oh, man. Are you sure we really need to do that? Of course, we're trying to get by with the least amount that we can. I needed some counsel from those that have done it before. And then the fourth time through, I thought, okay, I think I got it now. In fact, if you want to help me, I'd encourage you to read it too. Now, all I need is a gopher, so I'm just going to do it all. If anybody who wants to help, you're more than welcome to help me, but I'm going to require you read the instructions too, because I don't want these things coming off the floor next month if we not do them right. So, but I encourage you to read it too. But I had to learn a language. By the way, I call them tiles. They're not called tiles. They're called modules. All right? And then I learned, everybody knows what a trowel is, right? I even learned this, how to measure, you know, those little holes that they have on trowels that you put the glue down? They're very specific that you need 1/16 inch by 1/32 inch by 1/32 inch trowel. What in the world's that mean? That's just a bunch of numbers. That doesn't mean anything to me. Well, if you don't use that specific trowel, it's not going to stick to the floor. Well, that sounds pretty important to me. I better use that. And went to Menards and studied all the trowels, and guess what? They don't sell one like that. And it has to be a U-notch trowel, not a V-notch trowel. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Well, I was studying all the trowels at Menards, and I learned what all those measurements meant by studying them. One is the shape of the notch, one is the depth of the notch, one is the width of the notch, and one is the spacing between the notches. They're in that order. And I thought, okay, I figured that out, but it looks to me like they don't make such a thing that they're requiring. How are we going to do that? So when I talked to the experts, they said, well, you know what? Did you look at the can of glue yet? And by the way, there's instructions on that can of glue. I am going to read them before tomorrow. and next to the instructions is taped a trowel that you're going to need. Silly me. And it clips right on a trowel. So you got it there. Oh, man, I should have maybe looked at that, too, before I came to the store and looked for something, or before I begged you for this thing. And then I still have yet to find out what this is. It said that I need a cushion back wall trimmer. I kind of had an idea from the wording what that meant, but I didn't know what they needed a picture. See, you need more pictures for men. And I looked at the Menards, and sure enough, there's a hook that said above it, a cushion. What's it called again? I had to get this back. A cushion back wall trimmer. But the hook was the hook on the rack was empty. They want one, but they sell them there, but just not at this Menards. And when I went there, I said, "You know what? Do I need that?" And I said, "No, you can just use a stair chisel or a floor chisel, and a knife is. I know what a knife is, but what's a floor chisel?" So I picked up one of them. So we got it figured out. And oh yeah, we're ready now. I think we're ready to go at it. But I thought, boy, I need to 100-pound roller. Jacob, we sure need you to carry that roller around. But we needed a 100-pound roller, and we found a place that we could rent one of those for a week, and we're set with that. Other than it's too heavy for me, so my wife had to carry it. So then the fifth time through the instructions. By the way, the sixth time will be tonight, and the seventh time will be tomorrow morning. That's my devotions tomorrow morning. Before I start the work at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm going to pray for grace. Y'all pray for grace, because I can't do this on my own. And I thought, wow, this is a lot harder than what I thought. And I thought, how true that is with life. And how we need the instruction book. Did you read the instructions yet? Did you look at them again today? Did you get your plans for today? Well, I've got this all figured out. I've got my schedule. I've made it out weeks in advance. I've got this scheduled for today and this scheduled for next week at this time and all these plans. But did you get any special instructions today? You know, I find that spiritually God changes my plans from day to day, sometimes from minute to minute. But I'm glad that He's in control. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The instructions are right there. Sometimes I'm not sure what the instruction is. You might want to get some counsel from somebody who's been there before. And of course, somebody who's been there before that we have direct access to the throne of grace all the time is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tempted at all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He knows everything. I was just meditating on this morning when I was talking to the Lord in prayer, that anything that happens into my life, He already knows all about it. Isn't that an amazing thing? When we look at our life and we look at history, we look at a timeline. We say, well, this happened, then this happened. God sees it all in the present. In eternity past to eternity future, He sees it all as one picture, not a motion picture, just a still picture. He sees it all at one time. And He knows every detail, everything that ever has happened, everything that will happen. He knows, but I better get some counsel from some folks that have walked with Him for a while. I better get some advice from maybe my parents, maybe my preacher, or maybe other godly people. I better talk to some people that have installed carpet a couple of times. And get some advice. Okay, is this really necessary to do this? How important is it that we do this step? Can we skip a little bit on this? No, you better do that one. Now that one would be, oh, yeah, still you might want to do that one. Everything's important. You can't leave anything out. But you might want to talk to somebody who's been around the block a few times. You might want to be very careful to read the instructions over and over again. And before long, you'll find out you're learning some new vocabulary words. You're learning to talk different about, that old carpet tile or whatever. No, they're not carpet tile. They're, what'd they call them again? Modules. Modules, that's kind of a funny word, but That's what they're called. And boy, I sounded real intelligent talking to Al yesterday. I said, yeah, I'm not sure how we're going to lay these modules down. This trowel, you know that trowel they're talking about, the 1/16th inch by 1/32nd inch by 1/32nd inch trowel. You know, that's a pretty important thing, isn't it? Oh, yeah, that's important. But you start to speak the language a little bit. Boy, don't I sound intelligent when I do that? I impressed everybody there, didn't I? I'm not sure where I can find this cushion back wall trimmer. Do you have one of those? Really, I just wanted to see what one was. They don't cost that much, but the shelf was empty at Menards. And he said, oh, you can get by. You can make do with one of these stair corner tools at the store they called it a floor chisel. I call it a big chisel. In fact, he said you can use a chisel, it'll do the same thing. So that didn't cost much. We can get by with that. That works a whole lot better than my toe and help you cut a straight line. And you start to learn about different things you never thought were important before. And you know, life goes a lot better when you follow the instructions. Any job goes better when you follow the instructions. And our life with God certainly goes better when we follow. Whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. What a great promise that is. Let the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. By the way, the ungodly is not just the lost. The ungodly are those that go through life without God. They're without God. They're going through life according to their plans and their ideas and their decisions and their choices instead of what God chooses. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're just going to blow away. Their life is going to mean nothing. They're not going to make an eternal impact on anybody around them. And the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And Father, I pray that You would...